Good evening. Welcome to the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors meeting this June 10th. Ms. Celia, can we have a roll call tonight, please?
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director Guerrero?
I'm here.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Lucy?
Here. Thank you. And Karen, can I ask you to lead us in a flag salute? Did you do it so well?
Attention, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, after reviewing the agenda, does anybody have anything that they'd like to make any changes to the agenda tonight?
Nothing here.
Okay, and since we do have some big items on the agenda, I am pleased, don't be offended if I just move right along quickly here tonight. Okay, let's next do public comment for items that are not on the agenda.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I just really have some kind of questions. I just jotted down a list of things I had not heard about. There we go. Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I have some questions. I jotted down some things that I haven't heard about lately, and some of the things that we used to hear about more frequently. We used to see an annual NCMA monitoring report. Your consultant would come and give a presentation giving sort of the state of the basin, and we haven't seen that, and I believe that last year's is available, so I think that would be something we would see in the near term. A partnership with Pismo Beach on recycled water. I'd like to know the status of any grant applications on that. Mr. Guerrero, maybe you can expand on the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District and the recycled water feasibility study and the matching grant that feasibility study can't be done without, some $75,000. Where's your audit? Haven't seen last year's final numbers. The backup generator for Well 8. I don't even see it in your proposed budget. Maybe I missed it. Your local hazard mitigation plan, some of your high priorities before Mr. Ogren came to work was an emergency plan. I hope you would put in your local hazard mitigation plan. And something that I haven't seen really ever is your committee meeting minutes come from the committees to the board for review and to the public as well. So just some random thoughts.
Thank you. Mr. Charles Varney?
Madam President and Directors, my name is Charles Varney. I'm a resident and property owner here in Oceano and a recipient of your services, which I am very grateful for. I'm here to just give you an update on the current status of the Phillips 66 oil train terminal proposal that's in front of San Luis Obispo County. Last time I was here, Director White told me that you did not have authority over this, which I totally understand, in that this is something that the county is responsible for decision making. Nevertheless, many elected bodies are taking positions on this. As you know, San Luis Obispo City Council has gone on record opposing the project. Just this week, the Lucia Mar Teachers Association and the huge California Teachers Association both voted to specifically oppose the Phillips 66 plan because it is a danger to children in San Luis Obispo County. Yesterday, the Goleta City Council went on record against Phillips 66. And a week ago, the Grover Beach City Council told us that they have this agendized for July or August for their consideration. 88% of the people in Oceano live in the blast evacuation zone in case there is a oil train derailment. The business plan of Phillips 66 is to make their Nipomo refinery the Western United States Center for Sour Crude Oil Refining. They eventually plan to bring in trains from West Texas, from Montana, from Western Canada, and all of the tar sand oils coming in from Alberta, Canada, which will be processed here before they're sent up to the Bay Area for further processing, from which they will then be sent to Asia. That's the market for all of this oil. We get all of the risks, no rewards, and I would encourage you to please consider taking a position on this to help protect your 88% of the population that lives in the blast zone. Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Do we have any special presentations tonight, Mr. Ogren? No?
I'd ask if there's any other.
Okay. Is there any other public comment at this time? No, hearing none. South County Sanitation District? I mean, South County. Sorry about that. Sheriff's South Station. Nope. Okay. OCSD Operations. Tony, Mr. Maricino, you're on.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino. As for the month of May, we had zero SSOs. Lopez is currently at 36.7% full, which is 18,137 acre feet. Year-to-date delivery of state water for Oceano CSD is 216 acre feet. We have pumped currently 73 acre feet. We've had 26 work orders, 9 USAs, 13 customer service calls. We continue working on our sewer system, cleaning it. For the past 2 weeks, pretty constantly, we've been continuing to replace 5/8 meters, basically residential meters, raising the boxes, cleaning them out, keeping up with the preventive maintenance on that. As for this week, we're focusing quite a bit of attention on the prep work on 5 that we could do there at the yard. But majority of the work's been with the sewer system. Any questions?
Well 8,
how's it running?
Well 8 is running fantastic. It's running great.
Is that what we're pumping on right now, is Well 8?
Majority of the time, yes, it is Well 8.
And the status that you're prep work for Well 5, what's that? What's going on? I know that we're looking at...
Basically, it's getting rid of, you know, the piping that's currently there that will no longer need to be there. You know, we've already gotten rid of the electrical, the housing to the facility. We've gotten rid of the gas main that supplied the gas, and we're focusing in on the actual water lines that are coming from Well 5, because there's actually 3 lines that come from there that need to get removed, isolated, rerouted. So a lot of trench work. It's done by hand just because of the location of all these pipes.
And the sewer work, are you jetting or what's going
Absolutely.
On?
Absolutely. Okay. Just staying in compliance with our SSMP. You know, getting that 15 miles a year at least. Yes.
Excellent. Thank you, Tony.
Yes, sir.
Great. Thanks a lot. Does anybody else have any questions for Tony? No. I actually wanted to tell you that the Safe Water Drinking Report, our annual report that goes out.
The Consumer Confidence Report.
Correct.
That has to be out by July 1st. Yes, that was mailed with the bills. It is also available online at our website, and it is also available here at the office. So if they come in and pay bills, they're right there at the counter.
It looks great. Thank you very much. It really, you know, I read the whole thing.
It's a little dry reading, but it's what you know, the residents of Oceano well. Consumed. Yes.
Thank you very much. Okay. Let's go on to Board of Directors outside.
Hold on. Five Cities Fire Authority.
Oh, God, just too many meetings in one day, I guess. You guys can go home if you want.
No. Don't tease us.
Just kidding.
President Lucy, members of the board, I'll try to be as brief as possible. You have a packed agenda. I'll just talk about call activity through June 3rd. Month to date, we're about 280 calls total. 72 of those are initiated in the Oceano Station. Year to date, we're at about 1,283 calls. The percentage spread, you know, EMS is still hovering about that 70% rate, which is standard. We are busy ramping up towards the resolution of weed abatement and then ramping up our public education and our coordination for 4th of July safe and sane fireworks. Any questions?
I don't have any.
No.
Thank you.
I do have a quick one, Chief Lieberman. Where are we at? Have the other jurisdictions voted on the or done an endorsement of the budget that
That's
we've got on?
Agenda.
I'm asking for the other jurisdictions have done an endorsement.
Arroyo Grande voted 5-0 last evening.
Okay.
It's agendized in Grover Beach on the 15th Monday.
Great. Thank you.
Okay,
you're welcome.
Thanks. All right. Now we'll go on to the directors outside committees. Director Angelo?
I have nothing. I was absent last week, and I didn't make it today. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here.
Well, we hope you're feeling better.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Jennifer?
I attended quite a few meetings, but I will keep my comments brief. I attended the Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting, the IRWM meeting, our finance meeting on Monday, and RAC as well, the Water Resource Advisory Council. And of note from the IRWM meeting, it was brought to our attention that the Santa Maria Basin Characterization report is almost out. The final draft is almost out. So that will be coming soon, and that's the foundation for the salt and nutrient management plan for the area and the numerical groundwater flow model. So that will be interesting to see when it's out.
And
thank you.
Did RAC have anything? They're off for the summer, aren't they?
They are, yes.
So they'll come back on in August or September?
I believe it was September. Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to pass on the meetings tonight.
Okay. It didn't have any regularly scheduled meetings, but the agricultural representatives met earlier this week with the San Luis County Flood Control and Water Conservation District Zone 3 agency to talk about a variety of things, including the new state-required SGMA, or Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, which is going to add another layer to the various water organizations. You know, we have RAC. We have Zone 3, we have Zone 1, and now we're going to have one more. It's nothing that's going to move ahead too rapidly because it doesn't have to be established until 2017. But there was also discussion about the habitat conservation plan that's getting done now, maybe done by the end of summer for the Rio Grande Creek. And also a point of interest for everybody. The prediction is sometime October-ish, Lopez will be at 1,500 acre-feet. Just 15,000 acre-feet, excuse me. Yeah. So it's going down as we use it. So thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Guerrero.
Good evening. I also attended the Finance Committee District with our Finance Committee meeting with Ms. Blackburn, and obviously we have some of the results of that on this evening under our business items. I attended last Wednesday the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. We had a number of items on the agenda. We had a hearing approved budget. The audit was on the agenda, but that was continued. So I think, I can't remember what date that was continued, but I think it's next Wednesday. There was an issue that was presented regarding a proposed $9,000 fine for past violations from 2011 through 2014 that was proposed by the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. The board decided to go ahead and pay that violation. Of interest was that predominantly these violations were coming in 2011 and 2012. I think there was one violation in 2014.
And how much was that violation?
$9,000 total.
And that was just during that time period?
Yes.
Do you have any reason why they waited like 4 years to bill?
That was a discussion. No, we're not exactly sure, other than they do use this as a revenue source for their own programs. So I'm not exactly sure why they took so long, but I understand it's not just us that... they're going back and doing these cleanup billings and reviewing records. So what they, my understanding is what they do is they go back and they'll look at the discharge or compliance records. I shouldn't say discharge, but it could be compliance for a sanitation district. They will then see if there were violations and then levy a particular fine. This $9,000 isn't a particularly heavy fine. It's unfortunate for the ratepayers, but I think that it's probably consistent with what some of the other sanitation districts are doing. And then... I don't know for sure because I didn't compare them. But the additionally, as you're aware, that this last meeting was Mr. Seitz's last meeting as district legal counsel. His firm had represented the sanitation district for over 50 years, and that was their last meeting last week. So we hired interim counsel, Brownstein, Hyatt, Farber, and Schreck. They're a firm out of Santa Barbara. And they will be sending one of their associates up to the sanitation district to do our meetings. So that's the high and the low. Obviously, we have one rollover issue. That's item 10C on our agenda. And we can discuss that at that time.
Okay, great. All right. I'll take public comment on the consent agenda right now. And what's on the consent agenda... is review and approval of the minutes for May 27th, review and approval of the cash disbursements, and then a recommendation to introduce a resolution to collect delinquent accounts on 2015-2016 property tax bills. So if there's anybody who's delinquent on any of their payments, the district has to go through another step to collect water and sewer payments, to set the public hearing on July 8th. So if we pass that by consent, I would just want to make sure that people realize that there is a special hearing in there for to appeal putting these records into the tax rolls and direct staff to notice the hearing in accordance with the law, the ads in the newspaper and as such, and posting online and whatever. I'm sure you have a protocol. So if we move it by consent, that's what's included in the consent agenda. And I'll take public comment on items just on the consent agenda right now. 3 minutes. Does anybody have public comment on any consent agenda items? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to... pass the consent agenda.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay. Abstentions? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Passes 5-0, Celia? Thanks. Okay. Now we'll do public comment on business items, and I've thought a lot about this. And we're going to do public comment for items 10A, 10B, and 10C up front, not individually. So if you want to do public comment on 10A, B, or C, do it up front, and then the board will discuss the items and take action or not action. So I'll entertain public comment right now for items 10A, B, or C. That, you know, that's how I'm going to choose to do it tonight. Ms. Tacker, you cannot sit in the back of the room and yell. You either step up to the podium and make your comments, but do not sit in the back of the room and make comments.
Okay. Excuse me, President Lucy. The reference in the public comment portion giving direction to the public in regards to when public comment is appropriate is that when it cites to reports, it's not speaking to the reports or the staff report of the general manager. It is allowing public comment on any reports of outside, any special presentation, any reports of the South Sheriff's Station, the operations, or the Fife City Fire operations. So it's not directly related to Mr. Ogren's report tonight. So what you're doing is completely appropriate.
So let me get this straight. You have three significant items. You have a chief here to present for Fife City's Fire Authority. You have your general manager to report for your budget and for the sanitation district item. And the public cannot have the benefit of any of that testimony, and they have to speak now or forever hold their peace.
Well, not that I have to comment on this, but I will, okay, is that most all the documents that are discussed are in writing and in front of you. So if you're basing your testimony on what staff has to say, the supporting documents show that. There's no secrets.
If I was Spanish speaking, I couldn't participate because I can't read this. I'm not, but the next guy might be.
But then we'll make accommodations for that person.
You can't do that. That's against the law.
Okay.
You can't accommodate one and not all.
Excuse me, President Lucy. This is time for public comment on items on the business, business items on the agenda. So if you want to focus this on items on the agenda and start the clock, that would be appropriate.
Okay. So, Ms. Tacker, do you want to stand up and testify, ma'am?
Yeah, I'm just going to play your game. She starts when I start, and I haven't started. Item 10A, your budget. You don't have an audit. I don't know how you can adopt a budget by the end of this month without that information. I know historically this board's done it many times, but you really should be prudent and have that audit. Where is your backup generator in this budget? You have increased legal bills over the last several months, and I don't see that your budget reflects that practice is going to continue. You have two grants that you are pursuing, leak detection and a recharge plan. If those grants don't come, are you planning to budget for those items? I will fast forward to the Five Cities Fire Authority. Your general manager is asking you to ask the Five Cities Fire Authority to go back in time and recalculate some 5 years' worth of Five Cities Fire Authority contributions from this district. Your district has also been collecting rent from the Five Cities Fire Authority where the other agencies do not. If you throw all the chips on the table of the three agencies and the JPA, and it looks like there's any inequity, I think advancing this budget Five Cities Fire Authority has put in front of you and in front of their board next week may be unsustainable. And my last comment on the South Sanitation District $22,000 billing charge. From my understanding, the Sanitation District is looking for a detailed invoice before they pay the request. I got an email from Ms. Lucy this week because I sent some thoughts on it, and she said it was a personnel matter. If it's a personnel matter, it wouldn't be on your agenda. So I don't quite understand that. I would request, and let me just further say, there's a draft delinquency notice here. If you don't have an agreement, how can anything be delinquent? You don't have an agreement. There's no date certain. You can't be delinquent if there's no agreement.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. I'll make sure that your comments are included in the discussion. Anybody else like to make public comment on items A, B, or C? No? Hearing none, let's rock and roll.
Madam President, Bob Ogren, your general manager. Our first item, 10A, is to discuss the preliminary budget. As a point of clarification, today is not for the adoption of the preliminary budget. Instead, that will be on your next meeting on June 24th as a public hearing item. And as a public hearing item, it will have separate public comment on that particular item. Today is more in tune with the idea of a general review and direction from your board on any questions that you might have and any final direction in preparation for the next meeting. With that point, that it's not for the adoption of the preliminary budget, I did get a question regarding the next item, which we'll obviously cover in a little bit more detail. And the contrast is that Arroyo Grande did adopt their preliminary budget and in doing so supported the Five Cities Fire Authority budget. But the next item, which has recommendations for support of Five Cities Fire Authority, does not require the adoption of the preliminary budget. That next item is simply, for your board discussion and essentially to give your Five Cities Fire Authority representative with direction when she goes back to the fire department budget. But again, this is for general review and direction. Consistent with that, I met with the Finance Committee on Monday, and we had discussion around many of the details associated with the budget. And so what I've handed out and what is available to the public identifies some of the changes then that I have made to the preliminary budget for discussion purposes tonight, and based on some of the recommendations from the Finance Committee. So again, a general review with the Finance Committee with some direction from them. I've incorporated some of their changes for tonight's discussion. And then with the general review today and any further direction from your board, I'll be in a position then to prepare the preliminary budget and to have it on your next agenda. What I want to do is to use the two sheets that I've handed out as highlights for the budget and the summary and where I believe that we will be going. I'm not going to delve into all of the pages of the details on a fund-by-fund basis because I think the highlights can be covered with these summary sheets. One of the items of importance is the issue of reserves and the reconciliation to the audit. The audit has been completed. We received it yesterday from Caliber and Audit. The audit will also be on your next meeting. So that has been completed. What I've done then, if we will, in addressing first on the audit, the second sheet, or the one that is titled on the top left, Budget Summary Dash Reserves Fiscal Year 2015-16, has basically four different components to it. Beginning reserves, and so those are the reserves that have been now reconciled to the audit and are the reserves that are as of July 1st, 2015. I'm going to hold for a quick second and find out whether or not we have enough copies for the public.
The question was, do we have enough copies for the public? Does everybody have a copy?
No.
No? I just saw you come and pick two up. Okay. I have two copies right here.
Okay. You know, so again, in terms of this workshop and general review with your board, I'll reiterate that it's the next meeting that it's going to be a subject of a public hearing, where then the public, on all of our public hearings, can comment on the individual agenda items. This meeting is for the purpose of, you know, the general direction that we're going with the preliminary budget, and any direction that your board may want to provide me. So going back to the reserve sheets, what we've done this fiscal year, that really hadn't occurred in prior years, is to provide a detailed reconciliation of the reserves. So on our reserve sheet, there's four different components: beginning reserves, and now I've reconciled them, make the statement, audited and restated. Then for the 2015-16, what are our proposed reserve increases? Third component would be, do we have any proposed reserve cancellations? And then the fourth component then is, what would we project to be our ending reserves, which would be 6/30/2016. The different components of those reserves don't all have numbers associated with them, but those then relate to, do we want to establish at some time in the near future policies associated with things like infrastructure replacement, policies associated with emergency reserves, minimum reserves. Those are all have a C next to them, which is called a commitment. And what a commitment means is that it's your board's commitment to establish these reserves, and only your board can change those reserve designations. As opposed, there's also an R there, and that's called restricted. And those are the reserves that there's an external third party where the money that we get is specifically designated for a purpose, and your board cannot change that. That is a condition associated with a third party, and it's one that a third party could legally enforce. The one restricted reserve that we have are our facilities fees that were provided from the County of San Luis Obispo. And so that's the overall summary of the reserves picture. When we go to the first summary sheet, which is, you know, really the substance of questions like, does the budget balance? And this year, the budget does balance. As we all know, going into the current fiscal year, we had quite a significant deficit for the water fund. And through the water conservation rates that were adopted by your board on April 20th, that budget deficit has essentially been eliminated. And as a reminder, the adoption of those water conservation rates was based on a conservation target of 20%. If the community, which has so far been conserving just under 12%, if the 20% conservation is not achieved, then we will generate excess revenues, and your policy then is that those excess revenues will be dedicated for water conservation programs. That itself, that designation, is considered to be a commitment. And that way, at staff level, those excess revenues are committed to water conservation programs. If we generate the excess revenues, I have to come back to your board in order to get specific direction on how to utilize those water conservation revenues. But again, that is a commitment from your board when the Prop 218 happened. Obviously, the budget itself is based on the revenue projections in the Prop 218. I'm not assuming that there's going to be excess revenues. So as we go through our periodic reporting on how the budget is doing next fiscal year, we'll identify if those excess revenues are actually generated or not. Likewise, if the community conserves more than 20%, then we might see revenue shortfalls. In case, we'll have to address those during budget status updates. So the good news is, again, that this budget does balance. Now, I've restructured a number of items on this summary sheet, because if you might recall, for the current fiscal year, the summary sheet was really just the same exact line items on the various detailed, and it was just all put on one sheet. What I've done here is restructured it so that we can do more analytical review of the budget overall and address policy issues that your board might want to address, and essentially some of the policy feedback that I've been getting or direction from the Finance Committee. So the summary sheet breaks out operating revenues versus non-operating revenues. It also breaks out operating expenditures versus non-operating expenditures. And the importance of that, especially with respect to the enterprise funds on water and sewer, is that the Finance Committee wanted to make sure that we did the best job we can at balancing the operating revenues and the operating expenditures. And the purpose in doing that is so that our non-operating revenues, specifically fees that are collected from new development, when we have new will serve letters and new connections, that those fees from new development can be dedicated or committed or for infrastructure improvements. And so the budget not only balances, but it also essentially has operating revenues covering operating expenditures in substance. That's not a dollar-for-dollar match, but it's a substantially equivalent match. And that then, again, allows us to start committing the revenues from new development for infrastructure. On water, we've done that. We have essentially projected around $50,000 in public in development fees, relatively consistent with some of our recent history. We've had years where significantly more has been generated than that. But that's a relatively conservative number. And on the capital improvement side, then, that amount has been dedicated for capital improvements. Right now, what those capital improvements really are is some of the money in order to provide funding, because we have been approved to submit the IRWM grant application along with Templeton and San Ciem and CSD in order to pursue funding for our water supply reliability and prioritization study. Based on advice from the county, the two studies, the one on groundwater recharge and the one on leak detection programs, are being combined into one proposal with all the same details associated with it. But the consultants and the county's feedback was, we believe that it's going to be perceived better by the state and the granting agencies if they're combined and called a water supply reliability and prioritization study. And we have to incur some costs in order to get that application out the door. If we're successful, then the grant funding will reimburse us for even those application costs. So that's part of the $50,000. Certainly on the rehabilitation of well number 5, and I'll make a side note, we got the grant agreement from the State Water Board a couple days ago, so that too will be on your next agenda.
Was that a complete replacement or partial on well 5?
The casing and everything stays, but it's to replace the motor, the shed, to pursue a single chloramine system. We have some proposals from well drillers in order to pull the well so we can do the inspection.
I couldn't remember if it was partial or complete.
And the key there is when we pull the well, whether or not the well itself is going to be able to continue to be used. So that's the very first inspection that we're going to do. But the cost of our local match associated with that is covered by the $50,000 as well. So in water summary, the budget balances, and it's a very tight budget, but we've at least eliminated the deficit, and we've structured it so that we can dedicate new development fees to help us move forward with these capital projects. Overall, $50,000 is still a relatively nominal number, but it does help us move forward both in terms of the grant applications for the water supply and prioritization study, as well as the matching funds for the grant associated with well number 5's rehabilitation. Moving over to the sewer fund, again, it's basically balanced. What we've added there then, so on here there's some cells that are highlighted in green, and the highlighted green cells substantially reflect the direction from the Finance Committee. So we went ahead and we added in the $50,000 for a CIP program. And essentially that's our SSMP, Sewer System Management Plan CIP schedule. So there's a couple of things associated with that. One is that Tony has gone through and we've identified a number of manholes that have been paved over through prior paving projects. He's got to open those up, lift those. The county provided us with their 5-year schedule for paving in Oceano, and we have prep work to make sure to get those facilities modified in advance of the paving work, as well as the desire to update our sewer system master plan in terms of prioritizing the work that needs to be done on the sewer system. That analogy then is then we're hopeful that on the water system we can get the grant funding in order to update our capital, our CIP program for water system, but this money is dedicated because there's in order to fund it on the sewer side. In terms of sequencing of work next year, what we will do if this budget is adopted by your board is we will first go out and seek consultant work to update our CIP on the wastewater. And that way we can get that moving along, find out whether or not we get the grant on the water for that update. If we don't get the grant for the water, then we'll return to your board on how to fund updates on the water CIP efforts. Lastly, we added in $15,000 on CIP for garbage, and that's based on the discussion of progressing our, basically it's, you know, the trash and dumping, illegal dumping that's going on. As your board is well aware, we reinvigorated that program and you know, consistent with the ordinances that had been previously adopted. Mario is doing a great job of making sure to post everywhere where there's illegal dumping and working with property owners to try to get that taken care of. And part of the discussions were then signage for a clean and green program in order to help a positive approach to reminding the community of the importance of keeping things clean. We also have some trash cans in the community that we're responsible for that have taken a little bit of abuse both through time as well as, I'm not sure, but maybe teenagers who have decided to have a little bit of fun with them. And so there's money there that also will be available to help replace some of the trash receptacles and fittings. Ultimately, before we embark on any of those programs, Mario will conclude his research and we'll come back to your board with some recommendations on those particular items. So that's a little bit of a summary of our enterprise fund and the fact that it's balancing and that we have been able to structure a little bit of money to move CIP programs forward. I'm going to take a quick break there and ask if there's any questions on those particular notes.
I don't have any. No.
I want to move then to some of the governmental fund because along the top in the columns, we'll see funds that are new. We have the governmental fund, the administration fund, fire, lighting, parks and rec, equipment, and facilities. And going from right to left, the facilities fund was previously called the sheriff fund. And that's where we had the rental revenues from the sheriff building come in, and then whatever expenses we had as the landlord associated with the sheriff building. And then the rental income was split up 70%, 30% between sewer and water. And what I have in here this year is a couple of changes. One is incorporated all of our costs associated with various facilities and all of our costs associated with facilities rental. So we get some other minor facilities rental income in. And those are incorporated in now into the facilities budget. And the basic approach of making sure that all of our rental facilities and all of our facilities rental income and all of our facilities expenditures are combined into one budget unit is important because now we can look at our facilities as a whole and how do we want to manage the facilities. And certainly when I look in this last, you know, 10 or 11 months that I've been employed by Oceano and I look at the facilities that we have, it does beg the question of whether or not we're underutilizing some of our facilities. And I believe that by putting them into one fund, it will help us focus a little bit better on how do we want to do facilities management in the future. Now, what you'll notice toward the bottom is additions to reserves of $63,940. That's the amount that would normally otherwise be distributed to water and sewer. And the reason why I'm not recommending distributing it into water and sewer at this point in time is that based on discussions with our auditor, we want to do an evaluation of how the sheriff's building was originally funded. And because the current treatment of that is that it's being treated as if it's a water fund asset and a sewer fund asset. Now, we recognize that the original funding for the construction of that building was provided from the water fund and the sewer fund, but it's still not a water fund asset or a sewer fund asset. And what we have to do is go back in time and identify how much was the original funding provided by those two different operating enterprise funds. How much has been repaid historically, and basically establish what is the current day due-tos and due from, how much does the general fund still owe the sewer fund and the water fund for that original funding of the sheriff's building? That's also important because over time, the water fund has been borrowing from the general fund. And so hypothetically, and we know that the amount owed from water to sewer, to general fund is around $770,000. Well, likewise, there is some unknown amount right now that the general fund owes to the water fund for the remaining balance of the construction of the sheriff's facility. And so I've got to work through that, work through it with the auditor, determine it, net those balances out, and then come back to your board with some real amortization schedules to finish repaying the two enterprise funds. So right now, this net rental income of $63,940, which is consistent with the current year's budget, I'm saying let's set that aside in reserves. Let's do the financial analysis of how Sheriff was originally funded, how much payments have gone back to water and sewer, clean that up, fix it up, come back to your board, and figure out how we want to make sure that those final amounts are repaid. So one of our big financial goals for next fiscal year is to figure that out, as well as establish some real good amortization schedules in order to get all of our interfund due tos and due funds paid off over time. So that kind of summarizes changes associated with the facilities fund. And I would be glad to answer any questions on that at this particular point in time. Seeing none, we move to the equipment fund. Establishing the equipment fund is something that's a first time for this year. It's a new fund, and that in part is based on your board's direction when we bought the new utility truck. As we'll recall, we incurred about $40,000 in debt in order to fund the truck and the lights, and there was a down payment of approximately $20,000 that was funded from the general fund. And the direction from your board is to make sure that we recoup all of that. And essentially, it's being paid for by the water and the sewer funds, but not just enough money to pay the remaining debt service, but fully depreciated and interest costs so that we're recovering even the down payment, and then as we recover the portion that relates to the down payment, we're putting it into a reserve. So what we see on the column of equipment fund toward the bottom is an estimated increase in reserves of $4,023. That's based on a five-year amortization of the vehicle, so that amount will be relatively consistent from one year to the next, and it'll help start establishing, even though it's nominal at first, it'll start helping establish an equipment replacement reserve so that we have cash. One of the things we know is that the backhoe is it's struggling. It's, I think, a 1981 backhoe. One goal be to generate enough revenues or reserves so that we have a down payment on the backhoe. But in